Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is another episode rounding out almost 2023 here. Episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP, along with the other host, that guy over there, Nick Martin. How you doing, bud?
Now, dude, I'm a lot. What?
Now, that question is loaded because you are fresh out 8 days ago of surgery on the neck. We've been talking about it forever. It finally happened. How are you?
Finally. I'm good. So blood pressure is good. I feel like 60% better than I did before the surgery. Still have some pain, but I don't have the headaches like I had before, and I'm probably not going to pass out. So we've
good got good news. But the most important question everyone wants to know is, did it cure the ED problem you were talking about?
No, that's still a bad problem.
All right, we'll discuss that later. Anyway,
thank God for blue chews, though.
That sponsorship ended, man. So you're welcome, Blue Chew. All right.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Today on the show, man, we are excited. We are stoked. We have a very awesome and talented guest, probably best known for being the bassist in the band Blue October. Welcome to the show, Mr. Matt Noveski. How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Can't complain. Thank you guys for having me.
You're very welcome, man. We appreciate you coming on. And you could complain, but I've gone old enough now to know that what's the point?
What's the point, man?
Right?
Doesn't do anybody any good. Nobody wants to hear it.
It doesn't. And I've been telling my kids this for like as long as they've been old, and you know, they just still don't get it. They still complain quite a lot. Which begs to question the most important question, the one that kicks off the show. It is the rite of passage here on Dadcast, and I'm gonna let Nick have it today.
Matt, do you have kids? Are you a dad?
I do. I am a dad. I am a father of three. I have a 15-year-old girl, Avery, and then I have an 11-year-old son named Liam, and I have a 7-year-old son named Grayson.
You have a 15-year-old
daughter. Does somebody have an Avery?
Named Avery.
I have a Liam. That's so crazy.
My daughter is Avery.
Wow.
His son is Liam.
What?
We are cosmically that's connected, crazy. Matt Noveski, and that's the show.
So I've got, let me see, there's Liam right there. Okay. And then I've got Avery right here.
Sweet.
Yeah. So we just need somebody with a Grayson and we can round it all out.
Oh, that's awesome. Man, that's right?
What a weird coincidence.
No crap. You should be wearing a yellow shirt. You weren't kidding. You should go change that.
I know you guys didn't tell me this.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to literally lose my ever loving mind if the answer to this question is the same as mine. What is the middle name of Avery?
Grace.
Okay. Woo. Almost, but not. Mine's Avery Allison. So there we go. If it was, you know, if said it's Avery Allison Noveski, I was just like, you know what? We're done. We're out of here. This is cool. Let's go.
Yeah. End of the story. Yeah.
So
No, that's good. Avery Allison. That's got a ring to it.
Right. Avery Allison Pierce. That's what we were hoping for.
Ooh.
But fun story.
Yeah.
Mom was all hopped up on drugs in the hospital right after she gave birth. Cause she actually went in immediately after birth to have her tubes tied. They just like a 2-for-1 special at the hospital. And, she, came back in, and that's when the nurse came in with all the paperwork for the naming and responsibility and all that stuff. And I look over at my lady and I say, I'm going to name her Avery Allison Warrior Princess Pierce. Are you cool with that? And she's just, she had no clue. And I'm like, you know what? I so want to do this. I really want to do this. Yeah. But I think I'm going to get in a lot of trouble once she comes to. So it was just Avery Allison, and we let it go. And I told her the story a week later, and guess what? Why didn't you do it? She says.
You should have just taken the plunge.
I should have went with the gut, man. Warrior Princess. That would have been amazing. But anywho, so how old were the kids? I got so excited when you said her name that I didn't even hear you.
That's crazy. My oldest is 15, and then I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old.
All right, and the 11-year-old, that's the boy.
Yeah. So I have two boys. My 11-year-old Liam, and then my youngest is a boy as well.
Gotcha.
So, never a dull
15,
moment.
11,
you're
seven.
Going through the teenage girl years that JP and I are in the midst of. JP is actually on the other side, apparently.
Yep.
Doing quite
good
well.
Good for you.
I'm so close to the other side. I can feel it.
Do you have, is your oldest daughter, is it full-time? Do you live with her when you're at home?
So no, their mom and I actually split up a couple of years ago, but I have them a lot. So we kind of have a unique situation because I'm on the road a lot.
Right.
Know? So I would say I'm on the road probably 5 months out of the year. So we have a really cool relationship though. And, I never have any issue as far as any of that goes. So when I go home, it's like, you know, instead of just, hey, here's what we have planned out. It's like, if I'm like, hey, I've got 2 weeks off and I just take the kids. She's like, absolutely. So I get the kids a lot,
nice,
but it's just me and them a lot. So the last couple of years, it's just been me and my kids. In fact, we've even done some, you know, cross country road trips, just me and the kids. And so I lean on the oldest a lot, you know, she's 15, but I lean on her to help quite a bit. And she's an awesome helper, but man, you're not kidding about the female teenage year. Oh my God. It's insane.
Have you encountered the, I'm not going to say the word hate, but the disliking of dad for no apparent reason?
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. And I was always the cool dad, right? Too, you know, and there's like moments where I'm like, wait a minute. I thought I was the cool, like, am I not the cool dad?
No, you are. What's going on? Matt, I'm going to guarantee it. Look at you. You've tattooed rock star dad. Okay. Like legitimately. All right. I do not think they come cooler than you as a dad. So don't ever worry about that out. But so, and there's no rhyme or reason. Yeah. There's no explanation for it.
No, it's weird how it goes from, they're just like, dad, let's hang out and watch a movie. You're my best friend, to all of a sudden, like overnight, you're wrong. I'm going to go hang out with mom. I'm peace out.
Yeah.
F you. Yep. What is happening?
Door is closed. You know, don't bother me. I'm in my room. Yeah,
exactly.
Man.
But it's crazy. And
it's like, it's about 3.5 years of maybe they call you, text you. And then according to JB, it gets better.
It does. I am literally, I think in the last episode we talked about it. My oldest is going to be, crap, is she going to be 19 or 20? Anyway, in like 2 weeks, she's either going to be 19 or 20. I think she's an adult. Yeah, she's going to be 19. And I was in speaking with lots of other guests. We've heard it could be anywhere from 14 to 21, 22. And then they start coming back down and loving you again and calling. And I'm feeling it. I got it a little bit early. It was a few weeks ago. She called up and she just out of nowhere was, I appreciate you. You were amazing. You know, I'm sorry. I was such a complete and utter chaotic mess for a couple years there. And I was just like, holy crap. Wow. Recognition. It was really cool. So it's coming, man. You're at the beginning.
I look forward to it.
You're at the beginning. And, you know, as long as that relationship was solid and grounded, you know, from baby to the point of turn, you're good to go. You know, the kids, they got to find themselves. They got to do their thing. We were that age, man. Right. It's hard to look back now.
Oh yeah. Man, I remember apologizing to my parents, you know. It's like, hey, you remember when I was 13? Remember that whole year? I'm sorry
for right?
all of that. Like, I was a total asshole the whole time, you know, and I don't even know why, you know, but yeah, no, I look forward to that. And deep down inside, I really do have an awesome relationship with my daughter. We always have. We've always been like, you know, best friends. So
how is it in your perspective, or has it been different raising a girl versus the boys?
Man,
do you treat them differently?
I kind of have to. And the thing is I don't treat them differently, like in a diplomatic sense. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like give any of them like special treatment or anything like that. But all of my kids are so different from one to the next. Avery is she's a rebel. You know what I mean? She's check. Like, if you tell her not to do something, she's going to do it. And then my middle child actually has special needs. And he's like he's just pure love. You know what I mean? Like, he always wants to snuggle. He always just like, he's my buddy.
Right.
And then my youngest is like my little wizard, creative genius. Like, he's just always building things. And I wasn't like that as a kid at all. You know, I didn't know how things worked. I didn't care. But he's very, very literal and kind of mechanical. And so to me, like, I have to approach all of them differently because they're all just they're nothing alike. You know, they're all so different.
Yeah.
Even down to what they eat. You know, it's like, and as a single dad, I'm like, okay, it's dinner time. Here come three dinners.
Yeah.
You know,
it's God for DoorDash these days, right?
Oh God. Or pizza. Pizza's like the one thing. I'm like, it's pizza night. We're good. You know, so yeah.
So take us back about 15 and a half, 16 years ago. It was a fateful day in the life of Matt Noveski. Yes. And you were informed somehow, some way, that you were in fact about to become a father. Can you recall that day and the emotions?
I can tell you exactly what happened. I was actually asleep and I got yelled at. I was awoken by a scream from the bathroom, and it was, "Hey, wake up! I'm pregnant!" And I was like, "Wait a second! Wait, what?" You know, like, how did you inch in? It was crazy because she actually just had, she just had an intuition. She just had a feeling. And she got up and went, and I was still asleep. It was right, like 6:30 or 7 in the morning or something. And she went and took a test, and she was positive. And it was, but it was, believe me, as soon as she said that, and we, and I woke up and cleared the sleep out of my eyes, yeah, it was pure joy. You know, it was like, this is incredible. So that's one thing I will say is, you know, none of my kids were, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but none of them were mistakes. They were, we wanted to have all of them.
Right.
For sure.
That's,
you know, good, so good. That was, like, we were beyond stoked. And like, you know, it's your first kid. It's like just nerves and emotion, and you just feel like every single emotion you could possibly have, you have, you know. And then the only thing, you know, not to like jump ahead or anything, but the only thing that I can really place above that feeling as far as being truly overwhelmed is the day she was born.
Yes.
You know, that. Your first kid, you know, it's like,
yeah,
we did all the classes and, you know, all the like, yeah, the Lamas and all that and the breathing and everything. And I just remember the first thing that went through my head after my daughter was born, after I just saw her and she was so beautiful, was, why on earth did we do all of that? Because none of that actually prepares you for that.
Oh, no.
You know, like the class should just be, hey, just get ready because you're never going to experience anything like this again. You know, you're going to be completely overcome with emotion. You're not going to know what to do, you, yeah, know? And that's exactly what it was. I was just like, wow.
So how,
you know, just tears.
Were you,
it's unreal.
Were you in the room? Did you help deliver? Was it an over the shoulder?
Oh, I, yeah,
mean, how'd that,
yeah,
go for you? Was it smooth?
No, I helped. Yeah. Yeah. And it was smooth. Well, she actually, no, it was not smooth with Avery. She, there was like a 30-minute period of time there where it was really scary because her heart rate was dropping, and it turned out it had something to do with the cord getting wrapped around, yeah, her, and, but they moved her around and she was fine. And our doctor was absolutely awesome. He delivered our first two. And we were like pretty close with him. You know, he's such a good, that makes such a big difference.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
know, like actually trusting your doctor and everything. But yeah, I helped with all three of them. And you know, I, to me, it was a beautiful experience. I loved being a part of it. You know, I know a lot of people that are like, no, yeah, I don't want to see it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's scary, you know, but I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Good. That's kudos to you, man. Cause, yeah, I can't understand,
thank you,
any father who would, and I think Nick, you said you were one of them. You're like, nope, I'm good. I do not need to see any of that.
Yeah,
I couldn't
cut the cord.
Whether, I, yeah, no, pansy. Anyway, whether I wanted to or not, I felt, when am I ever going to get this opportunity again? B, this, right, is my, yeah, right. And as a father, I have to do this. I got to step up to the plate. You know what I mean? This woman, yeah, carried and made this in 9 months of just uncomfortable. And, you know, I got to do my part, as, yeah, little as it may be, you, yeah, know, to help out. And it was amazing on Avery. As a matter of fact, my Avery, she was, yeah, a water birth. So I actually, for lack of a better way to put it, caught her in the water.
Right.
And I got, amazing, to hold her underneath while she was still, as far as she knew, in utero. And I carried her out of the water, and then mom rolled around, put her on the shoulder, and they wiped it out. And then boom, that's when the first cries came, and she looked like a little purple Asian kid.
But a little, yeah, that's, they all do.
Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
And, but my take, yeah, on the whole thing is, I'm paying doctors tens of thousands of dollars to handle all the gross stuff. Handle, yeah, it. just handle it. I'll handle the cute.
I get it. Yeah.
You get them all yeah, cleaned up, hand it to me, wrapped up in a blanket with the diaper on. I don't want to get peed or pooped on.
Now that comes later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That comes later.
Oh, and,
yeah,
it has. Yeah. Like so much.
So Avery being 15 yeah, years old, when is she 16? Give or take. I don't need an exact day.
Or actually February 1st.
Okay. So it is coming up soon.
2-1. It's kind of driving.
Has she, yeah, has she used the dad is a rock star card yet to like influence friends, maybe get free tickets, say, dad, I want to go to the show.
She's actually I've always tell her, I'm like, Avery, if it's your teachers, if it's your friends, it's your friend's family, don't be shy about it. But she's always like very apologetic almost, you know, like she actually, we have a show coming up and she's like, Dad, it's my friend and you know, and his parents are really big fans. I hate to ask. And I'm like, when is this going to sink in? Like, right. I'm in the band. It's okay. You know, like we're good, you know, you don't have to feel bad. So she's really like, I think she's just, that's kind of her nature. You know, she's just a really empathetic, like kind of cautious, you know, person in general. So, but I will say like one thing that I love about her is she has great taste in music. Yeah. So I have actually discovered a lot of music through her, which is crazy, you know, like having a kid and your kid introducing you to music. And then also like being in the car with her, because there was like years ago, you know, where it was Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. And I'm like, okay, all right.
That's what I'm going through right now, by the way.
Oh boy. And you know what? That's cool. But, my kid will get in the car and I'll be taking her to school and it's like Nirvana in Utero or Deftones, yeah. You know? And I'm like, man, what? My kid's cool as hell. Like, what? This is awesome. I love this. So she loves coming to shows. She loves going to see concerts. She just went to Alana. Actually, her and our singer Justin's daughter are friends, and they just went and saw Lana Del Rey in concert together. So, music's a big part of her life, you know. But again, yeah, with us in particular, I think she is kind of like, she doesn't want to overdo it or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know?
Yeah, but I think also in her mind, like her friends are all super cool and they like to come over to my house and hang out. She's always got, when she's with me, she's always got like four or five friends coming over, staying and hanging out and everything. But I think in their eyes, I'm the cool dad. I just wish it was in her eyes.
Don't, it's coming,
you know,
man.
I'm
it's
like,
coming.
Your friends all think I'm cool. Come on.
It's coming. Don't you worry, man.
Yeah.
The JP guarantee. I promise you. And then.
All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Wait till, you know, Matt becomes a granddad. I'm not there yet. Neither is Nick.
I can't wait for that.
Right? I just.
That's going to be the best.
You and I, we're cut from the same cloth as far as age is concerned. Yeah, I did the whole Wikipedia thing.
Yeah.
I think you were a junior when I was a senior. I'm going to be 49 this year, next month. So you skewed just like me a little bit on the older side when you became a dad for the first time. Right? Typically.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know where the hell I was going with that, Nick. I had a valid good point. Oh, the granddad thing. But that's what it's like. I don't want to press it. Oh, by the way, my oldest, if you're doing math, is my stepdaughter, but she's been there since I was three. So my daughter, period.
Gotcha.
We don't call that. But it could happen at any point in time now. You know what I mean?
It's like,
and it's like, I kind of want it to happen, but at the same time, it's like, no.
Right.
And it's very conflicting for me, but I know that's going to be the coolest thing ever, man. Being able to give them back.
You don't have to. It's kind of like, you know, what Nick was saying earlier. It's like you don't have to do all the dirty work. You know, it's like you can just do the fun stuff. You know, and I have a big family. I've got six sisters and a brother, and so there's tons of nieces and nephews. And that's one thing is being, you know, one of the youngest in my family. Before I had kids, I had nieces and nephews, and I got to be like kind of the fun uncle when they were little, you know? And I was like, this is awesome. I can do fun stuff with them, and I can, you know, kind of be somebody they can talk to and open up to and relate to. And then I can just hand them right back.
Yes, sir.
Go about my day. You know, that to me is kind of the same thing with being a grandparent, right? Is you get to stuff their pockets full of candy and send them on their way.
Exactly. You
know, so what could go wrong?
Oh yeah.
The crazy thing for me is I was done, man. My youngest, when I got together with my wife, was 16. So he was like 9. So we were like pretty much done. She didn't have any kids. She wanted to have kids. So I got unfixed. Now I have a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old. So I'm like jumping back into the whole doing it all again. And
you're in the thick of it, man.
Oh, dude, it's a whole different ballgame this time. Like I'm old, I'm tired. Yeah. Like, these kids are like just crazy too. Like my daughter, my 10-month-old, yesterday we're sitting on the couch. They can't do a whole lot right now, but somehow I thought she was sleeping kinda, and somehow she like squirmed out. We have this huge like love sack thing next to the couch, and so she like fell with that. And I'm like, okay, cool, she's good. So as she's on that, she starts bouncing. Right, she bounces behind the couch, and poor kid's upside down, legs flailing around. She has a huge knot on her head now, and I'm like, total dad fit.
That's kids are resilient, man. That's what they do.
Add that one to the list, Nick.
I know. It's still not as bad as leaving my other one of my kids in a shopping cart at Walmart. So I had they're all within the same age group, right? Like within a year of each other, pretty much. So I'm out shopping and I have all three of them. And the newborn, he was probably 3 months old at the time. I get two of them in the car, load the groceries in the car, forget he's in his car seat in the cart, put the cart away, and I get back in the minivan. I'm leaving and some old lady's tapping the back of the cart. Your kid's in the cart. I'm like, nah, he's in the he is in the cart.
Oops. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I felt so bad. But yeah.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that's stuck with you.
At least, right? I didn't get the road and like totally forget about him.
I mean, these things happen, you know, like especially when you have several kids and they're really little and you're tired and you know, but what is it like? I've always kind of, I don't have a lot of friends that have kids that are like super close together in age. Mine are all 4 years apart, which is the same age that my brother and I are apart.
Right.
And that kind of felt perfect to me to sort of spread them out that way, because they can all get along, you know, for the most part. But what, like when they're that close in age, do they fight more? Or are they closer? Or is it kind of both?
Well, she's still an infant. So.
Yeah. Well, my middle-aged kids, it's definitely both. So I have two boys and my 18-year-old daughter. My 18-year-old daughter was very close with all of them, and now she does her thing, and the boys hate each other.
Got it.
So my son's 20.
Okay.
My other son is just turned 16. So that's like the biggest age gap between the three of them, and they just they cannot stand each other. It's hilarious.
Yep.
But you know, eventually, I'm sure as they get older, they'll be best buds and.
I hope so.
Yeah,
mine, because my son is 13 and Avery's 10. And boy, does she just rile that brother up of hers. I feel like it is her job in life, apparently, to piss off my son. And poor guy, he's a sensitive soul. And he hasn't learned yet how to manage these feelings, I guess. And... No, the best advice I keep giving is, dude, you understand she's trying to get a reaction out of you. And every time you give her a reaction, the bigger, the better, the more she's going to keep doing this. If you just ignore it, walk away, like doesn't even bother you. Hell, laugh it off. She's going to be like, what the hell? She's going to try to figure something else to piss you off. But that version of it is going to stop. And he just doesn't grasp it. He engages every single time. And doesn't happen as often as the fighting.
It's kind of blowing my mind, because my Avery with my 7-year-old they rile each other up so bad. I mean, where I have to separate them. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you're 15, he's 7. But I feel like she just knows how to push his buttons. And same thing, he's very emotional and he kind of gets, you know, like trips over himself emotionally sometimes. You know, he just can't handle it, you know, or he gets really upset, he gets really angry, and she'll do it anyway just to piss him off, you know. And I'm like, hey, you know, you gotta lay off a little bit, you know. So, but I have an older sister, and her and I are super close now. And when I was little, oh, it was terrible. Like, she threw a spoon at me one time, like this giant one of those huge spoons, and it hit me in the eye. And like, I mean, we did not get along when I was a kid at all. She claims it's because I was an a-hole, but I'm like, I think it was both of us. But that's when I was at like Grayson's age, you know, I was like 7 or 8. But now her and I are like best friends, you know? So I get along with my siblings so well now that we're all grown up.
I think
I have that to look
forward. I'm 10 years difference between the next youngest sibling. So I was probably either the postman or milkman's kid.
Right.
You know, I didn't have that. I was old enough separated where I was kind of like an only child. Two of them were moved out. And I think I lived with my brother from like, you know, 0 to 8 years old until he moved out. And I don't remember much of that. So, So there's no sibling rivalry on my end for that. There you have it.
That was like the story of my life, sibling rivalry. I was like, they all dyed my hair bright pink when I was a year old. They just tortured me when I was a child.
Are you the youngest?
That's all they did. Cause they're all my sister. Yeah. They're all older than me. Well, I have one it's kind of like the Brady Bunch. Like I have all half, and then I have two that are half to the half.
Gotcha.
It's a big Catholic family, right? And my parents, I'm the only child between my two parents, and they have kids from their previous marriages. So it's this big mixed family. Right. You could have filmed a sitcom,
and
if you did the math
and the science behind all of it, you might have found out you ended up being your own father. It's just weird.
It's a little out there. Yeah.
Man, so I see the hat on the road again. It seems fitting. We talked before we got on that you're waiting to check into a hotel. You guys are in the middle of a tour right now. Let's talk a little bit about that. Where are you at right now? How's the tour going? Et cetera, et cetera.
Man, I'm actually in Medford, Oregon.
You are not.
Do you have ties here? Have you been here before? This place is amazing, man. It's beautiful.
Mickey's kidding, right?
As far as I know, Blue October is not in Medford, Oregon.
Come on, man. Don't fuck with us.
No, we're off today. I'm in Medford. There's no show today. We're just off, but we are passing through today. We're staying.
Turn your camera.
You're in the same town as us.
No, Nick, be quiet. We gotta go with this. Turn your camera around right now. I want to see what you're looking at, if you can.
So I'm at a hotel, and there's like right next to me, it looks like there's an RV parked next to me, blah, 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 blah. But I don't even know what hotel I'm at, the Hilton or something. Yeah, but I'm in Medford, Oregon. It's a beautiful.
Okay, where are you guys playing tomorrow?
What is happening? I live in Medford, Oregon. I told you, I live in Medford.
What the hell? Matt, if we knew this, we could have done this shit in person.
I know. I had no idea, man.
I totally thought you're joking with us. Did you see the look on my face? That's hilarious. Did you all see the look on my face? I'm not a sucker, right? And I was about to get suckered. Are you Portland tomorrow? Funny, Eugene? Are you going north or south?
Portland. Yeah. Okay. No, we do Portland tomorrow. We do the Roseland, which we've played many, many, many times.
Yeah.
We always did the Crystal Ballroom or the Roseland.
Is the entire band with you right now?
This is like, you know, everybody's spread out. Day off. You know, we're all on a bus, right? Yeah. We're on a 12 people, 12 bunks. It is a full bus. And
this
like
is so batty. So
basically,
right now.
What we do
is so batty.
I know, it's crazy.
Of meeting up with you guys at about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock tonight, and just doing like a quick 10-minute vlog of, hey, Dadcast with Blue October in Medford, Oregon. That's it.
I could check. All I know is on days off, everybody splits up and goes their own separate ways. And then we reconvene because we leave at night. So what we'll do is the bus travels overnight, right? So we'll all meet back up at whatever time tonight to hit the road. But I don't think Portland's all that far from
5 hours.
No, you guys you're 5 hours away. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we'll leave tonight, but basically we get in as soon as we can check in, you shower, you do whatever. And then everybody kind of goes their own way. And then we get back on the bus and head back out again.
So Nick gets a little grandiose. Though. Nick gets a little grandiose with his ideas, and I appreciate it, Nick. I do. You know, I love you, but I was thinking more along the lines of, since you're here, when we're done, I just want to swing by wherever you're at and get a picture of you and I together, if Nick can make it. So for the thumbnail for this podcast, that's all I was thinking. You know,
dude, absolutely.
I have to go to Rogue River, which is 20 minutes away from JP as soon as we're done. So yeah, I'm totally
in. I'll be here all day, man. I'll be hanging out all day.
Since this is going to air long after you are gone from Medford, I can ask this question so the crazy fans don't come out. Are you at the Hilton on the south end of town where there's like two hotels close? Do you remember?
I can tell
you. No, there's don't raise the hand, Nick.
I don't know how to, this?
Yeah, no, the button was.
No, I don't know how to do the button. I forgot.
Oh, okay. That is nuts, dude. Matt, when you're like, I'm in a town, Medford, Oregon, I'm like, there's that. I know. I'm like, freaking this guy right here.
I can see why you'd think I'm kidding,
right?
Because I don't think we've ever been here before. So we are Morrow Road.
Okay,
it's the Hampton Inn.
I think that's one. Right,
yes, I can say it out loud.
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
room number. No.
If I would have known this and I would have checked your schedule, I would have offered you. I'm a concert promoter. I would have set up maybe like an acoustic thing in Grants Pass, which is 20 minutes south or north of you guys.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, I've got Saving Abel. I'm working on Adelita's Way right now to come in.
Very cool.
Yeah, the Hampton. It's Nick. It's the one off Biddle.
Okay.
So, it's so funny. You know how far away you are from me right now? 1.6 miles.
That's so weird.
That is the weirdest. Yeah, like, man. What a strange coincidence.
It really is. And we
happen to do this today.
Right. Yeah. While you're here, it.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, we don't do a lot of off days in smaller like cities or smaller towns. Like we usually do an off day, you know, where first of all, you have to have bus parking, you know, which isn't easy, you know, so you have to get a hotel that's not going to be a big conflict or a problem. But we're usually between, you know, wherever we're at, we're routed on tour. So we'll just stay an extra day wherever we are. We'll get into the next city a day earlier, whatever that is. This is one of those rare days where it's like, hey, it's a beautiful spot. Day off, you know, the leaves are changing and the weather's awesome. Like this is a perfect day to go somewhere beautiful like Medford, Oregon and spend the day. But it's all, I mean, it's honestly really rare. It really is. Yeah,
that's so crazy, man.
That's too funny.
What time do you guys leave tonight?
I have all my, and we have, I love apps, right? You can just look at an app and it tells you everything you need to know.
Dude, isn't this baddie, Nick?
It's actually not listed. It's actually not listed on here. I would assume if the Roseland is 5 hours, probably like midnight or something like that. Okay. Usually leave late. The driver will sleep all day. Essentially, he sleeps while we're doing shows and sound check and all that, and then he drives all night while we're all sleeping on the bus.
So the rest of the guys right now are just off doing their thing. Who knows what?
Everybody's out either, you know, at the mall or off eating or, you know, doing work, or usually on off days, I have work to do. I have a studio back in Austin.
Yes, so you do.
I'm usually doing a pre-production or, you know, songwriting or just kind of catching up on my stack of emails, you know, whatever it is. So that's kind of a typical
day. If you're really up and cool with getting a picture with us, I'll head down as soon as we're done.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. I'll be right here. I'm not going far today. So that's kind of perfect. Cool.
Right. And, you know, maybe a couple quick videos. Hey, it's JP. And, you know, hey, check it out. And I'm Matt Noveski, and I'm going to be on Dadcast, some little promo stuff.
Yeah, we'll do some liners, right?
Yeah, there you go. Talking my language, man. So I've spent 20 years of my life working in radio. And, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have one recorded for the Rogue, too, and surprise Brian if you're cool with that. But anyway, that's entirely neither here nor there. And I know exactly what liners are. That's crazy. And we played Blue October is one of my ex-girlfriend's favorite bands. My ex-fiance, as a matter of fact, what was the big hit in like 2006?
Probably Hate Me.
Yeah.
Into the Ocean was another one that did really well.
Yeah.
Those it was kind of our two
definitely
big
Hate Me. And, now she hates me too. So it's whatever. I'm still like, I'm pretty structured and grounded and pretty, but man, when you said that, what, you know,
the weird thing is like, I've been trying to see you guys live too. And like, I swear I checked the tour schedule. I'm like, they're not going to be anywhere close. And, or maybe I just put off because of surgery or whatever, because I would have either come to Portland. You guys were probably in Sacramento last night, right?
Well, we were in Fresno last night.
Fresno. Okay. So,
yeah, but I tell you what, man, the Portland show is tomorrow. If you want to go, let me know. Like, you guys are more than welcome to be my guest if you want to go to the show. I got you.
Nick, how's your neck?
My neck's good enough for a road trip. You want to go to Portland tomorrow?
You know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to do something unprecedented on this podcast as well. By the way, officially, Matt, off the rails, like I told you.
We did it.
It's fantastic. I know. I was like, we were going real smooth there for a while. All up to my lady, who, by the way, is a big fan. And I'm going to call her in here. She may or may not come because she hates cameras. But I apologize for what's about to happen. Jay!
I love
you.
It.
Must this is real come life. Here! All right. She's going to come out and I'm going to ask her because we have kids. And unfortunately, our babysitter, grandma, is down with COVID, Nick.
Oh, so, that's crazy. That's the worst.
So
I had COVID too. I told you 2 weeks ago I had COVID.
Yeah. So I'm not sure.
It's still hanging out, man.
If this works, it might just be like me and one of my, like my son, or me and just the lady. Or it's got to be her, though. It's got to be her. But I would love to, man.
Yeah, all good.
We love the Roseland. I'm not a big fan of the city of Portland, but I love lots of the venues there.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, we don't want to get political here, obviously, but it's too much cancel culture type, et cetera, going on. And it's just too much sometimes. And that's like Portland and San Francisco are like the spots.
I was just going to say that. Two absolutely beautiful locations, two of the like most, the prettiest places in the entire United States. But I don't like having to step over people shooting up to go to 7-Eleven. You know what I mean? Like,
agree and that with you more.
It's just terrible, man. It's just absolutely terrible. And it's such a bummer. You know, it's just, I hate that. Cause I, back in the day, you know, coming to Portland was one of my favorite things on it. And I still love it. I do. I have friends, you know, in the area. And I love all the Pacific Northwest. It's my favorite part of the country. But, but I really like it. Hey, this town is, how big is Medford?
Medford's
like,
what a bust.
This is a cool spot.
It's the biggest city south of, I think, us in Eugene. I think we're the third largest city in Oregon. Third or fourth. Obviously, Portland.
Yeah.
And you got Salem, Eugene, Bend, Medford, and then of course the little bitty Ashland, which is south of us, just across the California border, which is a real cool little artsy fartsy town. But yeah, man, I love it here too. Yeah. There's a certain time of year where you can ski, raft, hike, surf on the same day.
Yeah.
And be comfortable with it.
That's awesome.
You know, among other things, rock climb, you know, you name it.
It's such a great spot. I grew up in Traverse City, Michigan, which is very outdoorsy and pretty. And, you know, you have all the seasons and everything. That's one thing I really miss living in Texas now, living in Austin. I miss that about Traverse City. And you know, the air is very easy to breathe. This reminds me a lot of that. But one of my favorite shows, we did the Goo Goo Dolls tour last summer. One of my favorite shows, I think it was in Bend, Oregon, but it was the outdoor, really cool outdoor amphitheater.
Got the little tiny river right by the theater.
It's so pretty, man. What a cool spot. Absolutely love that place.
Yeah, my buddy actually owns one of the, it's, I think it's the Domino Room over there where we do a bunch of shows over there too. And he's got like five food trucks now. And but yeah, we
you need to appear on camera, so do what you got to do.
The Deftones and Rise Against and Thrice.
Fine,
nice. That's cool.
You're gonna want to come here.
Yeah. He's coercing.
She's like, can I at least put clothes on? I'm like, yes, you sure can.
Probably be a good idea.
You sure can.
you may want to.
Oh, that's batty, man. Wow. I'm still just. I'm in a town called Medford, Oregon. You ever heard of it?
All right. So where we're waiting. Have you guys heard of the new Blink album? One more time.
I have.
Did you cry when you listened to the song one more time? Because I did.
That's just you, Nick.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. And like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people feel this way. And I actually really like Alkaline Trio a lot. So I was always a big fan of Matt Skiba. But to me, like, Blink is the three guys that are doing it right now, you know? And I think Matt filled in admirably. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I love him and his band. But when they announced that they were, the three of them were getting back together again and doing that, it almost just kind of felt like something was right with the world again. You know, it's like, it's like a big sigh of relief. Like, okay. And we're back, you know? So yeah, I'm a fan. So hi,
okay.
How are you?
I don't, no. You need to be part of this. You need to hear this. Okay. I'm going to turn that way. All right. First of all, Matt, this is Jen.
Hi, Jen. Hi. Matt, nice to meet you.
So we were just, you know, doing our show here, minding our own business, having a great grand time, and talking about the tour. And he, out of nowhere, is like, yeah, we got a day off. I'm in this town called Medford, Oregon.
I'm sorry.
And
yeah.
And I'm like, and I immediately was like, dude, this guy's totally jerking us around. Like, there's what? That never
happened. And then we went and fanboyed and we're like, oh my God, can we go get a picture?
No, that was you, Nick. That was, you're like, was, hey, can we come to a video? So anyway, Matt, they're playing in Portland tomorrow night. And he has so awesomely invited us to go with his credentials. And I need to ask you, go make it happen. If you want to.
Yes, but I didn't need to be on camera for that. Thank you. Enjoy my fruit. I'm sorry you're here. Nice meeting you.
Oh, this is beautiful. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, you don't live here.
Thanks, Jen.
So,
hey, I think you got the thumbs up.
Oh, actually, we got the thumbs up, but there's a lot of moving parts. Three of those moving parts have four legs. Two other moving parts have two legs and school. Actually, they don't have school Saturday, but we'd have to stay the night. Nah, we could drive back. Who knows? There's lots of moving parts. So.
Oh, yeah, because that's five. Like you said, it's a five. That's a trip. You know, that's not necessarily close. So
no.
Yeah.
And what's funny is it's not funny. I literally just finished over a 63-hour period, drove 28 hours.
Oof.
Yeah, over the weekend.
From where to where?
So from here, home to Vegas, and then back.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I took my son to the Raider game in Las Vegas on Sunday Night Football, which was 4 days ago. So, yeah, the idea
of driving. We were playing that night in Vegas.
Were you? Good God.
That's crazy.
What yeah, the night of the Raiders game. The night of the Raiders game. We were playing the Brooklyn Bowl in Vegas that night. Yeah. Oh,
man.
That's my favorite venue, too. I absolutely love that place. It's fantastic.
There's an answer to one of your fast fives, Nick. So you better come up with another one.
Okay.
favorite venue?
Or we're talking about touring. Who are you guys on tour with?
Oh, yeah. So, well, we're headlining, which we usually do. Like, outside of the Goo Goo Dolls tour and festival shows, we don't. I could go on and on about it, but just nobody wants to take us on the road. I don't know why. I don't know if they're scared they're going to get their asses kicked on stage or what it is, but nobody wants to take us out with them. So we headline, we do our own show, and then we bring out bands, and we usually bring out bands that like not necessarily like bands that we're looking for to like really help with tickets or anything like that. It's just bands that we like, you know, bands that we're like fans of, that we just like their music and they're cool people and want to be around them. So we have a band out with us right now that toured with us in Europe in the spring. And we really liked them a lot. I think they just did a couple weeks with us, and we just kind of fell in love with their music. And so when the U.S. tour came up, they said, hey, we'd love to do it. And so we jumped on that, and they're out with us right now. But they're called Veers, V-E-E-R-S, and they're phenomenal. Phenomenal. So if you do come to the show, definitely get there by 8 so you can catch their set, because you'll be impressed. Super cool. Pro. Yeah.
We'll just hop on the bus with you, man. You're coming back down, right?
Yeah. It's only 12 people and 12 bunks. It's not crowded at all. Yeah.
They're the great, bucket list. Live the tour life for one night.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I did.
People have no idea how not glamorous it is.
It is not fun.
No, it's hard, man.
Yeah, I was working with this band out of Utah called American Generals, and they were like tapped into the next My Chemical Romance. Like, these guys were on fire, doing big things, had a record deal. We did a music video with them, had a small West Coast tour. So I went out on the bus with them, toured with them, and it was not fun. It was like, dude, this is cramped. This is like, it's weird. Yeah. It's like, you know, the parties on the bus, like, that was back when I drank and partied hard. Yeah. You party on a little bus with like 10 people. It's like, oh man, it's hot. It's sweaty. It's not as cool as it looks on MTV.
No,
you get to know each other real quick.
Yeah. Real quick. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And apparently you guys like each other.
All
because
the smells.
You've been going strong now for pushing 20 years.
You're absolutely right. But I think the thing with us is, you know, we're all about the same age in the band. We all have kids. All of our kids, we can relate to each other as fathers, because we're all fathers, every one of us, you know. So that's a big part of it, is our kids all growing up together. That's, I think, awesome. That has kind of kept us, sort of glued us all together. And then also a couple of the guys in the band have gone through recovery, and it really happened at kind of a make or break point for us. I think that if Justin had not chosen to go into recovery and get clean, we definitely would not. I would not be in Medford, Oregon today, like, unless it was for completely different reasons. You know,
keep saying our hometown, man. It's just blowing my mind.
Yeah. So for us, that's a big part of it, though. It's like, you know, we don't party like crazy or anything. I mean, we have our crew is really tight too. Like, we're all really good friends. We all get along really well. And of course, people can have a drink or go out or do whatever they want to do, and you know, that's fine. But as far as the vibe on the bus, we're here to to put on a show. You know, people are paying money that they've earned, hard-earned money, to come see us, and getting up there hungover or not, you know, not giving 100% is not an option, not at our age. You know, so we want to get better and better every tour. We want to give a better show, and that's not lip service. I'm dead serious. You know, we want to bring it, you know? So I think it's almost, we're kind of an anomaly in that way, because we're in our late 40s and our crowds are actually growing, which isn't really supposed to happen, you know? So to me, it's like, you know, maybe more bands or more artists should stay positive, you know? And just like really kind of embrace the things that I feel like we do as a band. I think it's unique for sure. I'm lucky.
Yes, you are, man. I've got a two-parter question.
Sure.
2020, how did you navigate that whole ordeal as a father? How'd that go for you guys?
Well, I will say that, as I mentioned, I got divorced.
Okay. Didn't know it was that year. All right. Okay. All right.
You know, but the truth is, without like sounding corny, it was something that needed to happen. And it wound up being the right thing for both of us and for everybody. And I feel like we're friends. You know what I mean? And I don't think sometimes you have to do that. You have to separate to become friends, you know, and I'm grateful for that. And I think that just kind of, when you're on the road and then you're home for a little bit and you go back on the road, you sort of put band-aids on things instead of really facing them. And I think one of the hard things about COVID, just to be real with you guys, was all of a sudden it's like, I'm not going on the road. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. I'm going to disrupt your plans. I'm going to officially screw up your routine.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that a lot of hard truths came about during that time, and that was one of them. But man, as far as like work goes, I'm really lucky that I have a recording studio. That saved my life, honestly. You know, if I hadn't had that, I don't know what I would have done, you know, because obviously touring was not an option.
Right.
It was scary times, man. It was like you go from just having 20 some years of this cycle to nope, that's not happening. You're not going on the road. It's like, wait, what? Like, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? So I really dove headfirst into the studio and making records, because the one thing that artists could do during that time, as long as it was safe and you were following protocol and everything, was you could stay creative. And so the studio was actually doing really well during that time. And it was a really good time for us, because a lot of people the people that are proactive sort of looked inward, you know, and they went to the studio and they continued to make music, and they knew that things were going to get back to normal, whatever that is, at some point, you know. So I did a lot of that. I did a lot of mentoring. I worked with a lot of younger kids who are artists or want to learn how to songwrite, play music and sing, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of got to spread my wings a little bit with that, which I love doing. I love working with kids. And just dove, you know, headfirst into that and did that from what I thought was going to be a month.
Yeah. 2 weeks,
a year and a half,
2 weeks to slow the curve or whatever, right?
That was honestly the hardest part about being in a band during COVID. It wasn't necessarily that everything got shut down. It was that for months and months and months, you kept planning tours and then they would get canceled.
Yeah, only to,
and then you'd plan another one. And then that would get, and it was like, you just didn't know. And then there finally, I remember there was a day where it was like, we're going to stop this madness and just wait until where we can actually do it, you know, because this isn't happening. It's just everybody's getting gray from this, you know. So
to do the whole, we're going to wait until Limp Bizkit plays somewhere and then we know we're good. Right.
There you go. Yeah. if they're doing it, it's got to be safe. Right?
By the way, you answered the second part of that question within all that question. So I was going to ask, how did you navigate as a professional and your career and good stuff. All right, Nick, have you put together a Fast Five?
Yeah.
All right. Let me explain. Fast Five is a radio segment I used to do, five quick questions. And I gave it to Nick. Nick, here we go.
All right. First question. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh. If I could have a billboard, I would say play bass, not guitar.
All right.
Man, there are so many guitar players in the world, and nothing against it. Don't get me wrong. Our guitar player is phenomenal. He blows me away. And I'm a big fan of guitar playing. But man, I just don't think a lot of people think that, oh, bass, it's like the worst guitarist in the band plays bass because that's what you do.
No.
Sometimes that happens.
I'd say
bass, it's it's you get to play drums and guitar at the same time.
Yes.
That's the way I look.
That's what I was going to say. It's rhythmic, as, so if fun. Not more important than the drums.
Yeah. I was just really lucky. I had an uncle who played bass, and it like I just knew that it was awesome right off the bat. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say. No offense to guitar players out there, but to the young kids, play bass. Pick up a bass. Try it.
Nice. Slap a the bass.
Okay.
Favorite. Slap of the bass.
Favorite food to cook for your kids?
Ooh.
Pizza. Didn't we cover this?
Kind of did, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. I don't really cook the pizza, though. I just kind of order the pizza for them. Actually, so my favorite thing to make for my kids is actually breakfast. That's one thing that they all love. I love making a big, like, Sunday pre-football breakfast for my kids. I'll do biscuits, the thick-cut pepper bacon, eggs, grits, you know, a little bit of everything, man. But it's avocado toast, and I'll just put it all out there, and my kids will just go nuts. So I love it.
For me.
All right, you've heard my parenting fails. What's yours?
Oh, man. I think I have, like, maybe not being present in the moment enough. You know, like, I think that I have to, like, I always say, hey, put your phone down. But then I catch myself doing it, you know? So I think there have been moments where I should have been more, I guess, in the moment and paying attention and not necessarily distracted by work, because life can't be all work. And that's something that I got to find balance with.
All right. We covered the favorite venue. What's your favorite band to tour with? Like, I would say co-headline with.
Man, I love Stone Temple Pilots. To this day, you know, we've toured with them and played with them, when they had Scott, and it was unreal. And then we were with them when they had Chester, and it was unreal. And then we've done a couple shows when they've had Jeff, and it's also been unreal. So I really love, like, the last few records they made. The first record I didn't really care for, but after that I really started to get into them, and they put on such a great show. And one of the things that really stuck with me was one of the first times we played with them, I got to talk to Robert DeLeo, the bass player, and he was like the nicest person I've ever met. He was just so genuine. I had this like hour long conversation with him that stuck with me for the rest of my life. And, nice. You know, kind of being a young kid and just looking up to somebody. So to me, like, I thought there were such good people and put on such a great, like, live, such high energy show. I think they're a perfect fit, honestly.
Sweet. Very cool.
That it?
I don't have a fifth one.
All right, I got a couple for you, man. Okay. You could play a show with any band or artist, living or dead, you have not already played with. Who's it going to be?
Prince.
That's a good answer.
Ooh. I'm going to say Prince, and to me, Prince could get on every instrument and smoke everybody in his band, and like, even though they're all phenomenal, he's just the ultimate showman. I'm so bummed that I never got to see him in concert, and I would have loved to play with him. Although, it would have been, I would have wanted to play first.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. No. So this might answer that next question, but in your opinion, who is the greatest bass player alive or dead?
Oof. I'm going to have to say James Jamerson, man. Like, it's Motown hit after Motown hit, and the guy, it's kind of a sad story, you know, because he never got the recognition that he should have, not until years and years later, but the Temptations, Diana Ross, Jackson 5, like all these songs, they're all Jamerson, and they're all his iconic bass lines that just carried those songs. And like, I feel like everybody knows the Jamerson bass line, whether they know it or not, whether they realize it or not, they're all humming it, you know? And I think he knew how to drive a song in the right way, you know? So I grew up on Motown. I'm a big fan. But I also am a big Sting fan, actually. And I really like I like the way that he builds his melodies around his bass playing. I mean, I love the Police back in the day, you know? Yeah. So I would say Jamerson for, you know, somebody who's dead, and then somebody who's still kicking it, I would say Sting.
There you go. We'll give him a call, man. We'll get that show lined up. Blue October, Sting. I mean, why not?
Let's do it.
Right? Screw it. It's like a Mike FM of concerts.
I can commit right now. The answer is yes.
You mentioned earlier the big breakfast on Sunday morning before football. You saw my eyes light up. Who's your favorite football team?
Oh, dude, I'm a Detroit Lions fan.
Dude,
I always have been.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And I think, dude, it's finally happened. Coming from a Raider fan who has been dealt with hurt after hurt, after loss, after craziness. You got something good going, man. Coach, I don't want to jinx it.
I actually really like what is happening with you guys right now with Antonio Pierce. I think that was a good move. I think he's breathed some life into the team, yes, which is awesome. I'm actually really good friends with Kendra Stabler, who's Kenny Stabler's daughter. She's actually a good friend of mine. So we have the same birthday, funny enough. But so I kind of have a soft spot for the Raiders. But man, I've been a Lions fan since I was a kid, and so it's just been misery and heartache forever, and this year we are kicking ass and I'm enjoying every second.
I hope, man.
My son
jokingly, because he's, you know, he's become a Raider fan as well, which is awesome. I always give him the choice, but yeah, if he's following in Papa's footsteps, that's fine by me. He said a few weeks ago,
yeah,
Dad, it's going to be the Lions and the Raiders in the Super Bowl. And I says, no, it's not. It's really not. This was, you know, my initial instinct gut thinking, because I'm thinking of the Lions and the Raiders of old, and there's no way in hell, but it could happen.
Times are changing.
I think more so the Detroit happen. Making it this year than the Raiders, mind you, but
I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction. I'm going to say Lions make it to the NFC Championship
and lose to
either San Francisco. San Francisco, probably. I don't think Philly's as good as everybody thinks they are.
We'll find out Monday night.
They've got some weaknesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. 8-1, man. They got the whole rematch happening Monday night against the Chiefs. Okay. Does this mean you're a Wolverine fan as well, college?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yes, how you I feel am. About Mr. Harbaugh and everything going on right now?
I have mixed feelings about Harbaugh because I'm such a big Lions fan. I still like, I wanted Jim Schwartz to kick his ass during that game where he slapped him on the back and then he chased him down.
Yes.
I was like, what a dick, like go get him, beat him up, do something. So I've always kind of not liked Harbaugh. But then when he came to the Wolverines, I was like, okay, this is full circle. When I was a kid, he was the quarterback. My dad would take us to games.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback for the team back then, you know? So I was like, okay, I guess I kind of have to like him again, you know? So, but honestly, at the end of the day, like, I think it's nonsense, man. I think suspending him is all just for show. Like, what I could go on and on about it, but what the Wolverines did, every single team does exactly that.
Yeah, they just got caught.
Making an example.
They just got caught.
They got caught, man. So whatever. Do what you got to do. We'll win. We'll keep winning. We'll beat Ohio State. It's all good.
Yeah. Nick, you look like you're about ready to say something. You got...
No, I'm just trying to get comfortable. That's all.
Oh, sorry, dude. Well, we're getting close to the end of this year.
I'm thinking, rethinking that whole road trip thing tomorrow.
Matt, yeah. Matt, I'm gonna end this soon, but don't go anywhere. I'm gonna turn off recordings and all that stuff. Stick around.
Yeah, you got it.
Wow, man. This has been an episode. It just blows my mind that you're.
Yeah,
I know. It's crazy. I wish we had known, man. We could have set you up.
The guest is like, I'm in Medford, Oregon.
Yes,
yeah. Will that ever happen again?
Who knows?
Probably not, right?
I mean, let's go back, Nick, because Nick is the man behind the scenes when it comes to this podcast. He does all the scheduling and getting guests lined up for the most part. And I handle, the editing and he hates it when I say this, but the lack of a better way to put it, I'm the talent.
See, the face.
I'm the voice. If there's going to be a face between the two, I'd pick his. So when did this, how did getting Matt on Dadcast go about?
I hit you up on Instagram like a week ago or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny though is usually, like I said, I'll have kind of a work day planned out. If it's an off day, I'll already have, like, the last off day I had like six Zooms all back to back. And this whole thing has been kind of weird because it just wound up being perfect. You're like, well, how about Thursday? And I'm like, I don't have a damn thing going on Thursday. It's like the only day I really have nothing going. I was like, right? I'm wide open. Man. Like
we had Thomas Nicholas from American Pie on. And I had
been
2 years just trying to get him to commit to the date. And finally, the stars aligned and it worked out and we had him on. But man, it usually takes about a month of back and forth of I've got this, I've got that, I've got this. And then it works out. But never this quick and never this perfect either. It's just so weird that
it's nuts.
Weird.
Two final.
I'm in your backyard.
Literally, I can. You know, yeah. I'm like Uncle Rico. I could throw a football over them mountains and hit you in the, not even kidding. Okay. Oh, I can't throw a football that far, but it's, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, if I could show you Google, I mean, I could call you and be like, time me. And
yeah,
it's so close.
I'll be there in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's probably funny. Give or take.
I'll be down there in 33 minutes once we wrap this up.
Two questions. One, I need to ask you on the air, so you feel obligated. We're getting close to that time, Nick. We every year we do a Father's Day episode. We try to get as many of our guests that we had on the previous year, and we get on. We don't do it on Father's Day, mind you. Right? It's like recorded a week or two prior.
We do it on Christmas.
We get a bunch of really cool guests. We're talking, you know, movie stars, TV stars, musicians, athletes, whoever's can and willing, and we line up a date. We would love to have you on if that's something you're interested in. And
sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah, it'd be good. To. It's like the Brady That'd Bunch. There's like 40 squares on there.
Cool.
And it's funny because there's a bunch of people doing this wanting to talk, and you have to raise your hand, and it's complete on chaos. And it's basically just wishing everyone a happy Father's Day, introducing yourself to some new cool people in the industry, and leave it at that. So, cool.
Love it.
Committed. And I always ask when we're on the air because no one says no to something when they're, you know.
you got to do it.
They don't show up on the Father's Day podcast.
And then they don't. Yeah. They're just, whoops, ghosted. final question I have for you, Mr. Noveski, I like to think the most important question I ask on this podcast, so no pressure. You can give one bit of advice to any father, new or about to be. What's it going to be?
No pressure, right? That's not a good question. So I've actually, I have spoken, I'm going to make this a little bit specific and I hope that that's okay.
Yeah.
But being the parent of a kid with special needs, I've actually spoken with some parents that were new parents. My son has Down syndrome and we didn't know that he had Down syndrome until he was born. And I could go on and on about this, but to me, he has been one of the absolute biggest blessings of my life. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how much he means to me. And the kind of relationship that we have, the dynamic that he and I have is really beautiful. It really is. So, but I've been fortunate enough to talk to some other parents that were new parents that also had children and did not know. And it's through an organization in Austin, but I got to talk to a couple of parents and kind of almost coach and mentor one father in particular who had a baby with Down syndrome and had just a lot of grief. And a lot of, you know, he had a lot of questions because he saw a lot of the challenges that were in front of him. And it really just kind of, it shocks you. It comes out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And it's your child and all you want to do is protect him. And you're just, all of a sudden you go from being really excited to really scared, you know? So I was really lucky to have a lot of conversations with him and talk back and forth. And it's been a while, but when we did, it was really beautiful. It was really cool. And I like to think that I was helpful, you know, but, you know, one of the things that I told him was, you're going to have all kinds of challenges. You're going to have all kinds of things, that you weren't expecting that are going to trip you up and are going to scare you, but you are always going to be that kid's dad. You know what I mean? Like no matter what happens, relationships, your other kids, whatever, you're always going to be that kid's dad and you've always got to be strong for that kid. No matter what's going on with you, if you got to go in the other room and cry and let it out, or you got to be emotional, you do what you got to do. But when you've got to be strong for your son, just like I am for mine, you've always got to step up to the plate. You can't let your own stuff get in the way. You just can't, you don't have time for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it's you and your son and you're in the moment, you've got to enjoy that moment. You've got to make it everything that could possibly be. And don't make excuses, man. Just don't make excuses for yourself and don't make excuses for your kid. You know what I mean? Don't, oh, well, he can't do that. He's not able to do that. You know, kids with special needs will really blow your mind because they can do a lot more than you think they can do if you just allow it to happen. You know, so that's what I would say.
There you go. And I think, you know what, that advice you just gave, that doesn't apply to just kids with special needs, man. That's kind of a,
yeah.
That's,
there you go.
anyone, everyone. Be there constant. That's what I got out of that one.
Yeah.
Good
be there stuff. Rough, for sure.
He is Matt Noveski, who's in Medford, Oregon right now. Bassist for the band, Blue October.
The Bland.
Yeah. They're definitely
I hope we're not bland.
They're not bland. No. I could edit that out, but that's funny. We like our mistakes. You own your mistakes.
I like
we
it.
Accept accountability here on Dadcast and as dads. That's one thing. That's the biggest. Whew, that's the biggest lesson I'm trying to teach my son, man. Take accountability. Because if you don't start doing it now, it's going to lead you down a path to where you're making excuses the rest of your life. And
you can make excuses all day long.
Guilty. We all are. But I hate them.
Yeah.
Accountability, man. Take accountability for your actions, good and bad. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
We're big fans. I hope the tour goes real well. I hope my lady has figured it out since we spoke so we could come hang out with you tomorrow night, because that would be absolutely amazing. To everyone.
You let me know.
Absolutely, man. Stay on. Don't go anywhere. To everyone watching, worldwide listening, however you may be listening, thank you so much for your support. If you're on the YouTube watching this thing, thanks for sticking through. Make sure you like it up, subscribe, do all the things. We appreciate you. And Nick, who's our brother podcast that you need to shout out right about now?
The Rockstar Dad Show with Jared and Gary from Bowling for Soup.
Boom. Make sure you check all that out. Once again, Matt, thank you so much. And we'll check everyone else out on the very next episode. Have a great rest of your whatever. See ya.
Thank you, guys.